Two evenings a row with kirtan, that's celebration. Krishna's childhood pastimes in Vrindavan. That's been our subject matter. It's chapter 11 from Canto 10. And we actually finished the entire chapter. And now we've been reading a summary of the chapter. I guess that's one way to describe. This is our great Acharya Jiva Goswami, who's taken the verses of chapter 11 and put it together in a more of a narrative form, in a literary form called Champu, Gopal Champu. And Champu is a particular, there are characteristics of a Champu. One of Jiva Goswami's books was, he wrote a book of how to write a champu. What are the Sanskrit rules dealing with champu? So we'll be touching on some of those, but one of them is references directly from scripture. Another is within the champu, there's really short phrases like verses of a song, because it's described that that's one of the things that the Brijbashis did. The cowherd boys did, the gopis did, the elder cowherd men. So when Krishna would come back, for example, when Krishna would come back at the end of the day of herding the cows, those who were not with him, the parents of the boys, were very eager to hear, what did Krishna do today? And then they would have already composed some songs, and they would describe what he did during the day in song. Maybe some of you are familiar with Brahma Samhita. And one of the verses in Brahma Samhita towards the end, I'm going to shut off my phone. Oh, it's already off. Okay. One of the verses towards the end, verse 56, Shriya Kanta, it's a really long meter. And in that long meter, it describes Goloka Vrindavan. That's described in a shorter version in the very first five verses, and then again summarized in verse 56. And one of the things it says, well, it says many things. There are Surabhi cows that give oceans of milk. All the trees are Kalpa Vriksha trees. All the abodes are made of Chintamani, wish-fulfilling gems, where all walking is dancing, all speaking is singing. Jiva Goswami comments, if all they're speaking is singing, what was their singing like? And if their walking was dancing, what was their dancing like in Goloka? So they did speak, but they liked to compose songs speaking or glorifying Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's activities, how he was dressed a particular time, his peacock feather and his particular garland and so forth and so on. According to Rupa Goswami, these types of narrations are stimulations of ecstatic love. The Sanskrit term is udipan. They stimulate. For one who sees Krishna's pastimes, it stimulates. By describing Krishna's pastimes in these songs that they sang, it stimulates. Our hearing, it stimulates. it's meant transcendental literature, transcendental writings and speaking is meant to stimulate ecstatic love. That's the goal. The goal of the Vedas, we know from Bhagavad Gita, what's the goal of the Vedas? Vedaish desire vayar aham eva vedyo. The goal of the Vedas is to know Krishna. And the way to know Krishna, bhaktyamam abhijanati. By bhakti one can know Krishna. The goal is to know Krishna. By bhakti one can know Krishna. So we want to stimulate bhakti. Descriptions of Krishna stimulates bhakti so you can know Krishna through service to him. Using the tongue, using the ear, using your legs, using your resources, using whatever Krishna has given you in service to Krishna. And that way, that's the medium for knowing Krishna. Then Krishna discloses himself to such people. So Krishna came back. We're going to read from Gopal Champa, where some of it is narration, some of it is directly quoting verses from chapter 11, and some of it's a song. The residents of Vrindavan singing a nice song. So we're going to hear from yesterday evening the elders of Gokula. When Krishna was born that very evening at midnight, he requested, so Vasudev arranged, for Krishna to be transferred to the other side of the river Jamuna to get away from Kamsa. The beginning of chapter 11, we heard last night, is it comes right after chapter 10. And chapter 10 describes the falling of the twin Arjuna trees, Yamala Arjuna trees, and the Nalakuvira Manigriva coming out of the trees. And so the beginning of the chapter is Nanda Maharaj arrives, chapter 11. Nanda Maharaj arrives at the scene, and he's astonished because he heard the really big kaboom as the dear big trees and the way they fell. And he sees Krishna with a rope tied around his waist. Anyway, so there's that scene. There's exchange with Krishna, and there's that same afternoon we heard last night, Krishna's already doing mischief. And Mother Yashoda again, because it happened in chapter 10, she wanted to didn't want to bind Krishna. She wanted to come back for his lunch. But he was too absorbed in playing. So she did different tricks and so forth. So last night we heard he came back for lunch. And then the elders got together and said, you know what? It's not safe here for the children. That there's better pasturing grounds for the cows, and everything is well protected on the other side of the river Jamuna by the king. There's no wild animals. It's not dangerous. Let's go. So they're going. That's where we are. They milk the cows, first order of business, and then they began to travel. They put all their paraphernalia, their homes, their everything, in bullock carts with coverings, tents they call it here, over the carts, and off they go. They go up north a bit and then cross. They wanted to go far away from Mathura. Last time I discussed this like a long time ago, we made a chart, like a map of where everything is. But they went north, they crossed the river Jamuna, and then they went a little bit south, and they settled in the Vrindavan forest. We'll hear. People looking from afar, seeing the carts with the tent arrangements, said, "It looked like a moving village." On the road, some ran, some called, some answered, some went back and then forward, some were taking care of their relatives. All were singing the pastimes of baby Krishna, while shedding tears, becoming stunned, perspiring, developing goosebumps and changing complexion. They were exhibiting symptoms of ecstasy, even though they're busy moving, because they're fixed on Krishna. The women, wearing new clothing, mounted the carts and began singing with bliss in loud voices. And here's the words of their song, spontaneously composed. "Oh, son of King Nanda, oh, son of Yashoda, from birth you have increased bliss. You give bliss to all your relatives. You drank poison which lost its effect by touching you. By your mercy you do not accept others' faults. You became blissful on breaking the cart. You are good luck for Gokula. You are pleasurable by having many names. You always play with Balaram. You play in the yard by crawling around. You play together with your friends. You overcame Trinavarta. You gave bliss to Nanda. You take pleasure in releasing the calves. You give happiness and fame to the people of Braja. Your thieving gives joy to all and shows your great courage. You performed pastimes of being tied up, and you give happiness to all by your nature." That's their song. It's little phrases. The composition is made like that. Little phrases, little phrases, little phrases, which they would sing, clapping their hands and whatever musical accompaniment. Continuing, while singing and desiring to see Krishna, they proceeded quickly. Then comes a verse from chapter 11, text 34. "Thus hearing about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram with great pleasure, Mother Yashoda and Rohini, so as to not be separated from Krishna and Balaram for even a moment, got up with them on one bullock cart. In this situation, they all looked very beautiful." And then we're going to hear the exchanges between the four of them on the cart. It's really far out. On the cart, the two women sat in the house-like cart, shining gold and inlaid with jewels, having soft, clean pillows inside and made brilliant by the effulgence of Krishna. The topics of Krishna were of two types: topics concerning Krishna and topics introduced by Krishna, speaking about Krishna. All the women who went beside the cart pleased the two mothers unlimitedly with known and unknown pastimes of the two boys. Prema took on a most surprising form. All topics filled with prema were as if unknown previously. And then comes Krishna's topics. Krishna said, "Oh, mother, where is everyone going?" His mother said, "Oh, son, we're going to a forest called Vrindavan." Krishna said, "When will we go home?" His mother said with a smile, "We're taking our house with us." Krishna said, "How can that be explained?" Balaram said, "Oh, Krishna, these big carts, which are like houses with places lower down for cooking and other chores, are coming with us." Krishna, looking with astonishment, touched Balaram and laughed. He said, "You have spoken the truth. since the trees standing far away are also moving. His mother and Rohini said with a smile, "Oh son, the trees are not going anywhere, but only appear to be moving." Krishna said enthusiastically, "That's all right, but where is Vrindavan?" Rohini said, "Oh son, it's across the Yamuna River." Balaram said, "We have left the Yamuna far behind. Is there another Yamuna in front of us?" His mother said, "Oh son, the river never divides at all." Balaram looked at his mother's face with joy and astonishment. Krishna said, "But you did not consider that the river moves just like the trees in the distance." When the two mothers laughed in joy, Krishna again spoke with eagerness. "Oh, little mother, what abundant joy exists in Vrindavan for which we make such endeavors?" Rohini said, "Oh, son, there are many places for playing and many things to play with." Joyfully, ornamenting the lap of Balaram, the spotless moon, with his dark complexion, Krishna raised himself up with affection for his limbs, with affection for his limbs, I guess Balaram's limbs, raised his head and then looked at Balaram's face, laughing. He joyfully rolled about. Balaram raising his head and revealing jubilant pastimes made Krishna laugh for a long time. The little boys doing little boy things. They approached a forest, joyful with the touch of the breeze mixed with the waves of the Yamuna. Listening to the conversations of the two mothers, Krishna stood up and joined Balaram. He talked to the comical elders with no teeth, saying, "What you say is not correct." While seeing known and unknown trees, animals, and birds, asking about these, he received answers. They arrived at a pleasant forest on the bank of the Yamuna. The questions and answers were, "What is that tree with all its leaves quivering?" "It is a pipala tree." "What is that tree with millions of buds?" "It is an Uddumbara tree." "What is that with long locks of hair over there?" "It's a banyan tree." In this way, on entering the new forest, the mothers and children talked. This marvelous talk gave joy to all people by its showers of sweetness. "What are those brown and black animals jumping around?" "Those are deer." "What is that animal which is a mixture of a buffalo and a horse?" "That is known as a Rohisha deer." "What are those animals with branch-like horns?" "Those are Sambara deer." The son of Nanda, along with Balaram, remains glorious as he asks the names of the animals from his mother. "What is that colored bird?" "That is a peacock." "What is that softly cooing bird?" "That is a cuckoo." "What is the bird talking like a human?" "That is a parrot." "What is that thing going to the flowers?" "That is a bee." In this way, the two boys talked to their mothers while going to the new forest and laughed. They showered the women of Braja with waves of bliss. The inhabitants of Braja then arrived at the bank of the Yamuna, which became crowded with the carts and cows. When they desired to cross the river, they wandered about making sweet sounds as they talked to each other. The two of them left their mothers and went to the high cart of their father. because of its height. With joyful eyes they saw Vrindavan, giving joy with its wildlife, and they saw the river, beautiful with lotuses. Nanda and others began talking among themselves. Oh, that forest across the river from here is most beautiful. It is like a cloth of various colors whose edge is carried as a reflection by Yamuna. Vrindavan has a wonderful flow of sweetness, like a showering cloud with lightning and a rainbow because of its red, yellow, and white flowers. From afar off, it releases a shower of nectar. Its rare fragrance attracts the bees from the heavenly planets. Vrindavan is like a householder welcoming guests, attracting them from afar by its fragrance. The noise created by the various cries of birds, like an attractive mantra whose subject is Krishna, attracts living beings which have ears, though they do not know the meaning of the cries. When Krishna and Balaram began to see and hear all of this, the cowherd man prepared for the cows to cross the river. At the time of crossing the bank, the water on the Yamuna, the water of the Yamuna, became filled with cows in a moment. When the cows had crossed the river, the cowherds had the women come down from the covered carts, along with the furniture, and crafted a boat-like bridge, like a highway, using great skill, using kasha, kusha, shara reeds, and bamboo bound together. When the bridge reached from one side to the other, the people who were on one side became the inhabitants of the other side, which was the space between Mathura and Kaliya's lake. So this, I'm going to use my hand. It's the place where they ended up, we'll hear shortly. It's rectangular shape, 16 miles by 9 miles. And the eastern side is by the river Yamuna. And Mathura is down south. And the place where the Kaliya Lake was is kind of a little bit northeast of where they were, the forested area. So they crossed up above that and then they went down. Okay, so here, that's where we are. Singing, laughing, and playing, they entered Vrindavan with the carts, it is said. Then another verse from chapter 11. In this way they entered Vrindavan, where it is always pleasing to live in all seasons. They made a temporary place to inhabit by placing their bullock carts around them in the shape of a half moon. So over here is the river Yamuna, and their carts did a half moon around, so they could keep everything safe. With great enthusiasm and eagerness, Krishna and Balaram jumped down from the cart near the bank of the river, calling their friends with long and short cries. Putting them behind, they entered the pure, colorful forest. Looking left and right, they began walking. How can this be described? On entering the forest, Krishna perceived it, touched it, and made it blissful. There's other verses where it says, by Krishna seeing creepers and placing his feet in the water and touching a tree, they all became ecstatic. He's giving bliss to his friends, the living entities that reside in Vrindavan, he's really happy. Poets ascribing human attributes describe that forest is singing through the calls of the cuckoo, dancing by the movements of the creepers, and developing goosebumps in its sprouting buds. This is true. Since the forest reacted in this way by the touch of Krishna's feet, this will be confirmed later. The two experienced bliss and courage by being raised on the shoulders of relatives and being carried around along with their friends. They associated with animals having auspicious marks and went from Vatsa Krida on the bank of the Yamuna to Chatikar. I did some research to see where Chatikar is and I couldn't figure it out. Even today, there's a place, Chatikar, in Vrindavan. So these are places that way back then they had those names. Vrindavan, whose qualities are revealed by its names, when occupied by Nanda's group, shone with splendor as if awakening from sleep. So the presence of the Brijbasis and Krishna and Balaram and everything, it just exploded with joy and exhibited opulences even beyond what was being exhibited before. They made a living space for the cows by placing the carts in a half circle within which they placed the cows, providing them with extensive pasturing space. And we'll hear it's really big. They made, so this is now quoting Harivamsa, another scripture. They made a half circle with carts at the edges, which served as a living space for the cows with protection. Then, that day they made a living space using the carts, again from Harivamsa. The next day they placed thorny trees, branches which they dug up, and old thorn bushes around the carts. With Govardhan visible from the eastern gate, they built houses near a line of trees. Though they had given up fine houses, the cowherd houses they built now were not inferior to the previous houses. The cowherd village, so now giving their measurements, is 8 kroshas, and 1 krosha is 2 miles, so it's 16 miles. The cow pastures within it measured 4.5 kroshas, which is 9 miles. It's a pretty big space. Though this measurement is accepted by materialized, the place was actually inconceivable in its potency. In the middle was Nanda's house. On its sides were his brothers' houses. He had 4 brothers. Around those were many other people's houses. Their houses were arranged according to the amount of their prema. As previously, they all experienced unprecedented bliss on coming there. The 2 boys, anxious to play, had a very strong desire to see the forest again. Every day, the 2 wandered around the forest with their father, herding the cows. Just 2 more sentences and we're done. This is another verse. The next verse in chapter 11. When Rama and Krishna saw Vrindavan, Govardhan, and the banks of the river Yamuna, they both enjoyed great pleasure. And finally, all the banks of the Yamuna, with their natural areas surpassing fields of camphor, Govardhan with piles of rocks, suitable for sitting and lying down, And the jeweled earth of Vrindavan, with its groves of attractive trees, became causes of joy for the two boys. So these were the three. He's just expanding on that verse 36. So the term Vrindavan can mean the whole tract of land. Vrindavan can also mean one of the 12 forests. And they're in, that's the Vrindavan that they're in presently. But you know, the whole of Vrindavan is this much greater place. And when the impetus to move from Gokul on the eastern side of the river Jamuna and to move to the western side where the Vrindavan forest is, this is called Mahavan. And this is called Vrindavan, or where Vrindadevi presides, not just resides, but presides. And some of you have been to Vrindavan, and some of you will go to Vrindavan one day. And one of the places that you'll visit, most likely, is Nandagram, the place of Nanda Maharaj. And that's where it's way over here on the left side, upper northwest of the Vrindavan forest. And you keep going further and you'll reach a place that just about borders on Rajasthan. And it's known as Rindakund. And it's a long story, made a long story short, because when you get to Vrindavan, if you are with Dinabandhu, when we go to, we were going to be going to Vrindavan at Kartik. And, you know, Dinabandhu was going to take us to four places. The place where Radharani was with her so-called husband, Abhimanyu, in Yavat. And then Terkadamba, which is not far from Yavat. And the Pavan Sarovar, the place where Nanda and Krishna would bathe every morning, up on the hill is Nandagram. And then continue further and you'll go to Vrindakund. You know, long story short, Dinabandhu is born in... He doesn't just speak Hindi, he speaks Braj. And they know it because he speaks it impeccably. And, you know, here's this American fellow speaking their language and with all of the affectations and culture and everything. So they love him and he loves them. And so in the course of that time he spent in Vrindavan doing what Dinabandhu does, there was the old sadhu who made it, he was going to depart this world and he wanted Dinabandhu specifically, ISKCON and Dinabandhu specifically to take care of Vrindadevi. And there's a long story. The deity of Vrindadevi was part of the sets of deities that were to be taken by the king of Jaipur from Vrindavan to Jaipur for protection. Govindaji, you know, the Madan Mohan, Gopinath, the main deities, many of the main deities of Vrindavan were at risk. So he, being a Rajput a Kshatriya, he wanted to protect them. So there was different sequences of events, but to get to Jaipur, they had to go in a certain direction, and one deity wouldn't move. Once they got to the edge of Vrindavan, and that was Vrindadevi, and this man, this sadhu, was taking care of Vrindadevi, and you know his generations, etc. So he entrusted that deity to Dinabandhu. Because I'm just mentioning this because Vrindavan, you can say Vrindavana, the forest of Vrinda, because Vrinda Devi protects. She's that's her forest, and it's a forest where Krishna performed his pastimes. And there's very interesting descriptions of how Vrinda Devi would orchestrate Krishna's pastimes in conjunction with Purnamasi and so on and so on. It's like very esoteric. Purnamasi is the personification of Yoga Maya. Just like here's Subhadra, the sister, younger sister of Krishna and Balaram, born of the children of Vasudeva and Devaki. There were six boys that were killed by Kamsa. It's a long story involved behind how that happened. Number seven was Balaram. Number eight was Krishna, the eighth child of Devaki. And then there was a daughter. And the daughter was Subhadra. So we don't hear so much about Subhadra, but she is Yogamaya. And the teaching is that Yogamaya has many names. And Yogamaya in Dwaraka Lila, that's Subhadra. And Yogamaya in the Vrindavan pastimes, that's Purnamasi. So Purnamasi is in charge. We read yesterday when they were getting ready to go from Mahavan to Vrindavan, they had to go check with Purnamasi, because that's Yogamaya. If she doesn't, if she says yes, it's yes. If she says no, it's no. She has that authority, you know, in the relationships, but also she orchestrates. So Vrinda Devi coordinates everything with Purnamasi, and she sets everything in motion every day. Dinabandhu has a great joy describing. She has so many parrots and sends the parrots here and there and makes arrangements, and she sets the pastime to Radha and Krishna along with Purnamasi in Vrindavan. It's her forest, Vrindavana. And Krishna loves Vrindavan. But, you know, they love him and he loves them, and his coming was like a sleeping person waking, or like that. Just they, when they saw from a distance, it was exuberant with fragrances and colors. And when they got there, it was just went over the top. It's not only the cowherd boys and the cowherd girls and the cowherd elders, cowherd men, cowherd women, elders, and the cows, but it's all the whole forest of Vrindavan. It's Krishna's eternal abode. And it was manifesting itself for his pleasure. And when he came and gave pleasure, they burst with joy. So that's what we're hearing. It's going to continue tomorrow evening to span the chapter. In how nicely written, huh? I mean, the conversation between Krishna and Balaram and Rohini and Yashoda is not within the Bhagavatam. It's Jiva Goswami's expanding of that pastime through his realization. It wasn't a creative writing spree. It was his realization of how they would interact with one another. He's playing the part. Krishna's lovingly playing the part of a little boy. A 3.5, 3 years, 4 month old boy. And talking this way and that way and playing this way, that way, as if he's not omniscient at all powerful. Why is he doing that? For the pleasure of the elders. There's his mother and father, or it's the two mothers, and also Nanda Maharaj. But then also the other gopis, and even like this comment of the toothless elder women. He has loving exchanges with everyone. that's his nature, and we're hearing a really close-up picture of his child, because the chapter is the childhood pastimes. And then there's other things that come up. We'll hear tomorrow. So, what we've been trying to do when it comes to the discussion time is persons in the room can say something, and then we'll see if somebody online wants to raise a question. So anybody in the room want to ask something, comment something, appreciate something, reflect something? Yeah, Rinda.
So you were saying she doesn't only decide, she decides there. I could not understand that.
She doesn't just live there, she's in charge. It's her residence, and she's in charge. She not just resides, she presides. She's the president. President Rinda Devi.
What is Pulmasi?
What is what?
Pulmasi, you were talking about.
I mentioned
Purnasi.
Brinda Devi is a gopi. Well, you know, Brinda Devi. And Purnamasi is Shakti Tattva. She's Yogamaya, personified in Krishna's pastimes in Braj. I can say some more. You want to hear some more? Yeah. You know who Sandipani Muni is, right? Sandipani Muni?
Yes, ma'am.
Krishna went to school there?
Yes, ma'am.
Purnamasi is his mother. And Sandipani Muni's son, so her grandson, his name is Madhu Mangal. You've heard Madhu Mangal, right?
Yes, ma'am.
That's her grandson. So before Krishna appeared, Purnamasi arrived in Braj.
Okay.
With her grandson. Nobody knew who is this lady. But because of her presence, everyone just accepted her as the one who's like, we don't do anything without checking with Purnamasi. That was her presence. Some people just have that presence. She's Yogamaya, and they're pure devotees, so they accepted her in that way, even before Krishna came and after Krishna's appearance. So they deferred everything to her. If they're going to make an important decision, she's like their guru. They'd ask her. And if she said yes, it's yes. If she said no, it's no. She said, do it differently, do it differently. That's her function. She's Yogamaya.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Orchestrating, you know, doing what Yogamaya does on behalf of Krishna, covering people, yes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Thank you, Maharaj.
So let's see if there's something online. Next, it would just go back and forth like that.
Maharaj, so Sanjay Dasi asks, are there any known pastimes that occurred between Krishna and his uncles / extended family?
Yeah. He would sit on their laps. He would, you know, pull on their chin. And then he would run and sit on another one's lap. You know, he would just do things that little children do. This is in his, because after the childhood pastime, we don't hear so much about Upananda and the others. We don't even hear, the names are mentioned of who the other three brothers are, but only Upananda is specifically named. But he just does playful things with all of the family members, and not only just family members, but you know, any of the elder Brijbasis because of their love for him, and he would reciprocate with their love for him in childish ways, when during his, because this is during his childish pastimes. Okay. Now you had a question.
Yes, Maharaj. So Vrinda Devi is presiding over Vrindavan, right? And is the Vrinda Devi mentioned here the same as like Tulsi? Or?
Yeah. I mean, Tulsi is her expansion, and Vrinda Devi is an expansion of Bhakti Devi, who is an expansion of Radharani. It's like a, you know, very interesting combination. But so, yeah, she is the personification of our Tulsi Devi. Okay. Anyone else have something? No? How about your son? You have something?
Is there any other forms of the person who all of Rajabhumi asks her?
Other forms of what now?
Yogamaya.
Yogamaya?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And are there any pastimes, other pastimes? Like with explaining with her, like, of Yogamaya with Krishna.
Well, the main, with Yogamaya and Krishna that we know is Purnamasi. Now, there's an earlier pastime where before Krishna is born of Vasudeva Devaki, you know that pastime.
This one.
Right? Yes. Krishna calls Yogamaya and says, hey, I've got some service for you. She goes, great, what's the service? Transfer Balaram from the womb of Rohini to Yashoda. The womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. Then take birth as the daughter of Yashoda. Then I'll arrange for you to be brought back here. And then Kamsa will try to kill you, but he can't kill you because you're my Yogamaya. And then you have some other service. You'll be known throughout the land as different names of Durga. That's a pastime. That's Yogamaya pastime. That was your question.
Yes, Maharaj.
And so otherwise, Yogamaya is primarily in Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, known by the name Purnamasi. Now, in the Bhagavatam, we don't hear much about Purnamasi. But in the writings of the Goswamis, we hear lots and lots and lots about Purnamasi. So if you want to know more about pastimes with Krishna and Purnamasi, you're going to have to, like, read pastimes that our acharyas have described. But I'll describe one to you. It's in a Jiva Goswami writing. I'm trying to remember the name of the book. It's a book that's describing Radharani being made queen of Vrindavan by Purnamasi's arrangement. So the text, Jiva Goswami's text, begins, there's to be a meeting between Radha and Krishna, and Krishna's late. And when Radha's gopis, they're, you know, trying to pacify her because she's in a lot of anxiety. They send a messenger to go find out, where's Krishna now? How far away is he? You know, waiting for somebody to come. It's like, so the messenger goes and she sees one of Chandravali's messengers. And Chandravali's messenger is really haughty. Your Radharani is just going to have to wait. Because Krishna's with Chandravali right now. you can go back and tell her. So she goes back and she's really reluctant to tell her. And Radharani gets really upset. It's not the material, it's the transcendental. And so she leaves. Krishna shows up. And, you know, it's very interesting. The gopis say, get out of here. What? We know what you are doing. And he said, well, you know, it's got delayed. We know what you are doing. And Radha doesn't want to see you. Get out. I mean, not like exactly that tone, but so Krishna goes away. And Radharani becomes, she gets in her angry, called Man Lila. And she just runs into the forest. So Krishna's devastated. Krishna comes back again, weeping and pleading. Krishna's ready to give up his life. Purnamasi intervenes and says, hang on, I'll take care of it. She goes to find, Purnamasi goes to find Radha. I mean, there's lots of other little things in between. This is just the basic storyline. And she finally finds her. And she's in a cabin deep in the forest talking to herself. Saying, why do I get like this? I know who he is, but I can't give my heart to anyone else. And she goes on and on and on. I don't understand. I get overcome with this. But it's a pastime that Krishna likes very much. Although it looks horrific, he's ready to give up his life. And he can't give up his life because he doesn't have a body. Doesn't have a material body. But it's, you know, it's transcendental emotion. Inspired by his beloved Radha. And Radha's going, you know, I don't know how I get overwhelmed like this. And Purnamasi comforts her, says, you need to come back right now. I don't know if Krishna will be able to continue to live like this. Please come. You know, she says many, many, many things. And Radha returns. And when Radha returns, Krishna's, Radha came back. So they have a plan where then Radharani is going to be made queen of Vrindavan. And the second half of the book is the grand festival of Radha becoming the queen of Vrindavan, presided over by Purnamasi. And Vrindadevi's there too.
But Maharaj, I have a question. I thought Purnamasi was an expansion of Radharani.
Purnamasi is Yogamaya. And Yogamaya is not... Radharani is Krishna's Haladini Shakti. As part of his internal potency. So the internal potency has many sub-potencies, right? And there's one of the primary ones is his pleasure potency. Satchit Ananda, that which gives Ananda, that's his pleasure potency. She is his pleasure potency, part of his internal potency. And Yogamaya has a function of orchestrating the relationships and the pastimes for Krishna's pleasure. It's a different function, so it's a different personality. How's that?
I'm not sure.
All right?
Yes.
Okay. So let's go back to online questions.
This one is from Archana Vaidya. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. If it is okay, can you kindly share any pastimes of Vrindadevi shared by His Glory's Dinabandhu Prabhu? Thank you.
Well, I mean, the one that I've heard maybe 15 times is each morning she calls her parrots. She has many, many, many parrots. And she confers with other principal gopis, and then she sends the parrots to go carry the message. Vrinda has her parrots. And, you know, Radha has her parrots, and Krishna has his parrots. she sends these messengers to go make arrangements. And that's how she coordinates. She's like Super Soul with parrot representatives. And she consults with. So that's the primary reference that Dina Bandhu speaks about. But you can, I'm sure you can go online, find recordings of Dina Bandhu speaking about Vrinda Devi, and you'll find a lot more. Anyone else in the room? We're doing this back and forth. Back there? Anything? No? Yes.
Guru Maharaj, does Purnamasi has a temple just like Vrinda Devi has a temple? Does she also have a temple in Vrindavan?
Yes. There's probably more than one, but one of them is just before Vangshivat. There's to the left side as you're entering into the temple, there's a deity of Yogamaya, who is Purnamasi in Vrindavan. You know what I'm speaking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Maharaj, this one is from Manjari, and she asks, Hare Krishna Maharaj, you said Abhimanyu is Radha's so-called husband. Why is that?
Why not? It makes the Leela Parakya Bhav. There's a relationship with Swakya within marriage, and Parakya is outside of marriage. It's an arrangement by Purnamasi. Arrangement by Purnamasi that Radha and Krishna would not be married, but they would have a relationship outside of marriage. So here's a Purnamasi pastime. You ready? I'd like to take you one day to Vrindavan. We can go visit all these places and you can see the place and we can tell the story right at the place. But when Radharani was a little girl, Durvasa Muni came to visit Vrindavan. And the gopis, when he came, they were in a field. And they saw him. I mean, they hadn't seen his photograph or anything like that. But they understood, this is a great sadhu. And who are you, great sadhu, Durvasa Muni? I've been traveling and I'm very hungry. I'd like something to eat right now. And they said, well, we'll go very quickly to our homes and prepare something and bring it back. We'll be back as quick as we can. And he said, you don't understand. I want something right now. And they're off in a field. So they turned to Radharani, and she took some water and some dust of Vrindavan and made Vrindavan biscuits. And they offered them to Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni said, what? You expect me to eat this? And they said, you don't understand, Radharani's really special. She has all these gifts. Just try one. Just try a bite of one. So, not convinced at all, he took a bite of one, and it was so amazing. He gave a benediction to Radha right there in the field of Vraj, that who, for the rest of your life, whoever you cook for will always remain healthy, never contract illness. Everything that you cook will be superlative, and you'll never make the same thing twice. Durvasa Muni gave Radha a benediction. Now, she doesn't need any benediction from anybody, but it was a pastime. So the gopis went back and told their mom, you know what happened today? Durvasa Muni, blah, blah, blah. So when Mother Yashoda, she was dear friends with Radharani's mother. Radharani's mother's name is Kirtida. So Kirtida and Radha, Kirtida and Mother Yashoda were having a conversation. You know what happened to my daughter today? So immediately Yashoda, Radha's just a little girl. Could you send your daughter to cook breakfast for my son every morning because of this benediction of... So there was a special kitchen arranged where Radha would come with her friends every morning, early, 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 and cook for Krishna. Then you know the pastime? I'm sure you do. The pastime of Brahma stealing the calves and cowherd boys and putting them in a cave. And then 1 year passed where Krishna had expanded himself as cowherd boys and calves, and so that the cows could have Krishna as their calf and the mothers could have Krishna as their son, so he fulfilled their desire for one whole year. So during that one whole year, Krishna made a suggestion to his father. It's a very auspicious time. All the boys should be married to girls because the girls wanted Krishna as their husband. So Nanda Maharaj liked what he said. I have to go ask Purnamasi. She said, great. So they were married. But it was Abhimanyu was Krishna. And then after the 1 year was Abhimanyu. So another pastime is when Mother Yashoda, naturally she had affection for Radharani. I mean, the transcendental affection, what to speak of even just an ordinary relationship. So as a mother, she was thinking, my son... Wouldn't it be really nice if one day my son married Radharani? And, you know, she was thinking like that. So very playfully, very affectionately, she made some markings on her hand. You know, there's with turmeric and haldi, making markings that people do when they have festivals and weddings. So it was fun, laughter, and then Radharani went home. So when she's going home, she looked at her hands and said, oh, what's my mother and father going to say? I can explain it was just a joke, but it was... So she washed all that off in a lake or a pond. And that lake is to this day still yellowish from turmeric on Radharani's hand. And she went back. By the time she got back to her home, her mother and father already heard because somebody saw she was washing this haldi off her hand. They said, we accept. They sent a whole cartload of jewels and valuables to Nanda and Yashoda's home. So Nanda and Yashoda got this acceptance, what was just a joke, or, you know, friendly having fun. So they had to go ask Purnamasi. Purnamasi said, no way. I mean, she gave, it's inauspicious time, you know, we can consider this another time. No, she called it off. Because it has to be the so-called Abhimanyu. Who was asking that question? Online? So that I was looking at you because this is a Purnamasi pastime. So, Radha was married to Abhimanyu, who is said to be Krishna's shadow. But Abhimanyu never even so much as touched. Shadows don't touch an object. So Radha was never even touched by him, although they were so-called married. But it was just part of a pastime to, because the sister of Abhimanyu, the mother of Abhimanyu, were always creating obstacles for Radha and Krishna's meeting, which is part of the fun. So it was Leela to have a nice time. Because Parakiya is, has a flavor that Swakiya doesn't have. So Krishna also married. We'll hear tomorrow morning about Radharani became Satyabhama. And they married. That's another very interesting, intriguing story of Krishna's pastimes. So-called husband Abhimanyu. You have something? It's a big mystery, isn't it?
We talked about all the boys, Gopas and Gopis getting married during that 1 year time frame.
Yeah.
So who did Krishna get married to during that time?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's a nice question. I don't know. Maybe he missed out. I don't know. That's a nice question. It's a very logical question to ask.
Right.
But I never heard anyone ask that question. I'll see if I can find out the answer.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah.
During Kartik time, I have seen that there is this Tulsi Vivah where Tulsi is married to Krishna. I was just wondering, is it described in Bhagavatam or
no?
Any scriptural basis for that.
There's a tamasic version that has become popular in ISKCON, and I'm very irritated that it has become popular in ISKCON. Now it's in from other sampradayas, and they have a festival, but it's not sattvic, it's tamasic. So my memory is really poor with this, but I seem to recall a pastime that our acharyas have described. The Radha wants Krishna to marry Tulsi. And so it's, little children playing, and they tie their knot for marriage, and then the laughter stops, and she realizes, wait a minute. And she tries to run, and she can't run because her sari is tied to Krishna's dhoti. And so there's some pastime like that. I can't remember the details. It's a pastime.
This one is from Archana Vaidya, and she asks, Maharaj, I was curious to know if there were any pastimes of the deity of Vrinda Devi that
This is the same question. I answered it already. You asked it already.
Before she was asked...
What Dina Bandhu said, and I don't know more than that.
Okay.
I don't know more than that.
The difference between this one and the last one was just about like Vrinda Devi in general, and this one was about like the deity that he's taking care of. That's, I think.
And my answer is the same. Go online, find Dina Bandhu and Vrinda Devi, and you'll find abundant stuff. It's his favorite topic. It's, I'm sure, abundant. That's it?
There's a few more in.
Go ahead, do one more online, then yours.
This one is from Sanjari Dasi, and she says, this is a bit off topic. Through all these pastimes we are hearing, we see Krishna's sweetness in his dealings with his devotees and with his dear associates. When this feature is so prominent, where did the concept of an angry or vengeful God come from? these sentiments are very, very prominent in Abrahamic religions. Is there a connection between this view of God and the dawning of Kali Yuga, since these religions begin soon after Kali started?
I don't know the history of religion well enough to answer that question.
Maharaj, my experience of forests in India.
Of which in India?
Forests.
F-A-U-L-T-S.
F-O-R-E-S-T-S.
Force.
Force in India.
Forces.
Usually they're green.
Oh, forests.
Yes.
Okay.
And I heard you refer that.
Then they're flowers.
Colorful. Okay.
Flowers. Okay. Trees with flowers. And flowers with flowers. There are lots of flowers, apparently. Colorful flowers.
Ecstasy or anything?
They're transcendental flowers. There's mode of goodness flowers have fragrances and colors, and transcendental flowers have, they're like replete. So you've got the right picture because it's right there. And there, it's like a very special kind of forest. It's not just the one that you and I are used to. Okay? Lots of flowers and lots of fragrances. They could smell the fragrance from the other side of the river. Lots of flowers. Okay.
Maharaj, it was very sweet to hear how Krishna was asking questions.
You must, yeah.
At the age of 7, as to what bees are and what.
That's very cute, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sweet.
But when, as people age, they don't talk as much or with that kind of innocence with their parents. So my question is, what's happening when, as you keep aging up, the conversations that we have with parents start to diminish?
I don't understand your question. Krishna has a sweetness with the parental affection relationship is very, very special. And it doesn't really compare to us, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, I know I shouldn't be comparing it, but my question was not about that. My question was more related with, why is it that when we, you know, age up, our conversations with parents starts to reduce?
I don't understand your question. Do you understand his question? Take the microphone.
As we are growing up, we generally tend to talk less to parents, or the innocence that was there, you know, when we are young, is not there anymore as we are.
Well, Krishna didn't speak like that with his parents later on either. And I don't remember what I said when I was little. But, you know, it's an ideal transcendental relationship. That's what's going on. And as he became older, he didn't speak the same way. Anything else? Are we finished? Okay. Go ahead. Now you have the microphone.
Maharaj, I was just going to ask if you could speak a little bit about Chandravati, like who was she daughter of, and.
I forget who she's the daughter of, but some research I recently did because somebody asked, Sanchari was asking, who is, since Radharani is the Hladini Shakti, what Shakti is Chandravali. So the research says Chandravali is an expansion of Radharani. She's of the Ladini Shakti potency, but up to a lesser degree. And her function is primarily to assist good guy, bad guy kind of function, but just an obstacle for Radha and Krishna. that makes the meeting sweeter. So, I forget her, it's mentioned who her husband is, and mentioned who her father is, I don't remember.
But she was also living in Vrindavan.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. She's in the right-wing Gopi group. Chandravali became Rukmini.
Maharaj, you said that when Krishna was exploring Vrindavan, you said that he touched a tree and it became blissful.
Yeah.
In another book I've read, it said that when Krishna killed Putana, when he was sucking her milk, even though it was poison, when Krishna killed him, she still got immediate liberation. So, is there any more pastimes when Krishna gave immediate liberation to him? And cleared the sinful activities?
There are different results. And not get liberation, but it's specifically, let me just finish. When Krishna puts his left foot on the serpent that was swallowing Nanda Maharaj, he was liberated from the curse of the sages that he had offended in the heavenly realm, or the Bhuvar Loka realm. He was a Vidyadhara. You know that story, right? The serpent that was swallowing Nanda Maharaj. Yeah? So, he was liberated just by Krishna's touch. But he didn't go back to Godhead. He was liberated from the curse of the sages. He became an exalted devotee and went back to Vidyadhara Loka because what he wanted to do was go back and go on Sankirtan. Spread the glories of Krishna in Vidyadhara Loka. So he didn't go back to God. He went on Sankirtan. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. Your mom got something. Anything?
Thank you. He's asking you how we have anything.
But you have your own... Nothing. All right. We're done, yes? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.